who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Sir Colin. Appreciate that. Newest elder right there. So he did mention virtual prayer meetings on Thursday evenings. So I threw a sign-up sheet in the back. It's by invitation only. You can't just pop on and jump in. So you have to be invited to participate on Thursday evenings. We do that 7 o'clock? Thursday evenings at 7 o'clock. So there's been, you know, we just took a break through Christmas or whatever. So we're going to offer an opportunity again. If you're interested, I just need your name and email, and I'll be able to give you an invitation. And I'll send that out every week. You don't necessarily have to jump on every week if you don't want to jump on every week. But if I don't have your email, you're never going to be given the opportunity. So if you want to be invited, I just need your email address, okay? So that's for Thursday nights for virtual prayer. We're going to start kicking that up again this week. Christ, our sanctifier. Christian Missionary Alliance is a fourfold gospel church. Christ, our Savior, sanctifier, healer, and coming King. And we are about completing Christ's great commission, which is go and tell all the world. Not complicated. We can make it complicated, but it's pretty simple and in my mind anyway. And what we read there is from Peter. This is the second letter that he's writing. And these are words from a very courageous and a very faithful apostle. So 2 Peter, the first Peter that he wrote was to comfort and to encourage those believers that were being persecuted. The second letter offers warnings to those that are already believers, warnings to those that are already within the fellowship, attacks upon our faith, complacency, divisions, disrespect, doctrines of false teachers. Mostly he's addressing that which is from other believers. Not from the outside world. It's evil and dark and everything's getting into the church. He's already talking about what's in the church because it's full of people. And believers influencing other believers, oftentimes in not so healthy ways. Peter explains that his days are short. He fully anticipates that he will be put to death. He's in prison, he's going to be put to death. He's writing a letter. As one of the last remaining apostles that are still alive to walk with Jesus and witness his resurrection, he writes, you should probably listen to what I'm saying and get a better understanding of the scriptures. He speaks of holding fast to non-negotiables in your faith. He gives us some very practical advice to godly living. We would do well to listen to some of his last words. We would do well to listen to his warnings. We would do well to consider, are there any non-negotiables in your life? Are there any non-negotiables in your faith? Do you even know what a non-negotiable is? Are there non-negotiables in your faith that many times many people will try to challenge and test? And this letter is written to those, the scripture says, have received a faith as precious as yours. This is to us, to believers, to those that have a very precious faith. If you're not a follower of Christ, then this doesn't pertain to you. He's not writing to you. He's writing to those that have a very precious faith in Jesus Christ. And he's saying, these are some ideas, these are some warnings, these are some ways in which you might live godly. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us into his own glory and goodness. So there's your first one. It's a divine power. So God has given us a divine power. God has given us a divine power. So nothing you did. Nothing you did. Other than maybe make your profession of faith, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe him died and resurrected and for the forgiveness of my sins. There's your profession of faith. But it's God who gives you the power. God in his mercy, God in his grace, God in his justice, God in his love. We have done nothing to earn this. Yet, he does this for us. We are sanctified, set apart. We're holy. Why are you holy? Do you think it's something you do? You're holy because God says you're holy. That's it. I know you think it's more than that, or you think it's about something you do or something you didn't do that makes you unholy or something. God said, you're my child, fills you with the Holy Spirit of God, you're my child. And that's that. He said so. It's not what you've conjured up. It's not what your idea. It's not what the world's trying to tell you. It's what the Word of God says concerning you. Because he's accepted you. Because he's adopted you. Because he's grafted you in. Because he receives you unto himself. He wants a relationship with you. You have received a faith so precious. He has given you everything you need to live a godly life, to walk in your convictions, to walk in your beliefs. And how often do we take that for granted? We choose not to live by divine power. We choose an ungodly life. We choose our own selfish ways. We choose spiritual contentment and laziness, complacency. We choose greed or lust or bitterness or envy or anger. God gives you everything you need to live a godly life. He gives you divine power. Nothing you've done, and in fact, you probably can't live a godly life without his divine power. Everything we need to live a godly life in an ungodly world. That's a trick, isn't it? To live a godly life in an ungodly world. I know I can't do it. I know you can't do it. But he can in us and through us. And that's his desire. He would do this with you and for you. Everything we need to live as light in a dark world, everything we need to show love in the face of hatred, everything we need to bring peace in the midst of chaos, everything we need to show faith in a hopeless situation. God has given us everything we need. Now, in my house, I have all the ingredients for linguine with clam sauce. I love linguine with clam sauce. Probably one of my favorite things. And every time I make it, I remember my dad. He was always making it. He liked making it. And I've got everything. I've got the minced and the chopped clams. I got the clam juice. I got the cream. I got the parsley. I got the flour. Got the linguine. Listen, I've got all the proper pans and all the proper pots. I even got a stove to cook it on. I got everything I need to make linguine with clam sauce. And I've had it for months. I'm too lazy to do the work. It requires a little, so I eat cereal. Or we just go out to eat. I like cereal. I like going out to eat, but it's not linguine with clams, though. See, I don't want a cereal walk with the Lord. I want a linguine clam sauce walk with the Lord. And there's a big difference in that. I don't want to be lazy in my walk with the Lord. I have to be willing to do the work. I have to be willing to show up on a virtual prayer meeting. I have to be willing to show up at a SOAP meeting. I have to be willing to show up at church on Sunday to do what is required, to add the right ingredients at the right time. I could store up all the spiritual ingredients that God has given me, everything that I could absolutely need, and store it all up. Or I could whip up some really good spiritual feast. What does it look like? What does it look like to like live a godly life, to add some of the ingredients? What does it look like? Well, sometimes it's difficult. It's inconvenient. It's taking the phone call when you'd rather watch the playoff game because somebody's crying out, "Pastor, hey, I need you. Don't you know the playoff game's on?" Sometimes it's required of that. Talking to someone when your sermon isn't quite ready yet. I'm supposed to be working on my sermon, but someone's interrupting. Can God interrupt? And how do you feel about that? Maybe it's actually just stopping to listen to someone, to actually listen to their story, to their heartache. Maybe it's visiting him in the hospital, making a phone call, sending the text. "Hey, I was just thinking about you, praying for you. God bless you. Hope things work out well." Whatever. Sometimes it's just as simple as that. It's adding the right ingredients. God's given you everything, but do you just put it on a shelf and let it sit there? In your complacency, you're unwilling to take it off the shelf and do anything with it. What would it look like for you? For you, it's probably very different than maybe it is for me. Some things might be very much the same, but it might be very different for you. If our faith is real, it will be evident in our faithful behavior. If people are diligent in their Christian growth, they won't be deceived by the false teachers. This is what Peter's saying. You won't get deceived because you know the truth. And you won't be deceived by what's coming at you. You won't be deceived by the corruption of the world. As the world tries to influence you and corrupt you, you know the truth. You have all the ingredients that is required for godly living. But are you willing to take it off the shelf and utilize it? Or you just keep adding worldly stuff. And then you got a real bad mix. Then you've got some bad clams. And listen, this is an obtained faith. This is an acquired faith, an acquired taste. It's an acquired faith. It's a journey of an awakening. It's a revelation of yourself. See, it's the maturity of your faith. This is the going deeper stuff that many people don't like to go deeper. They just want to hear all the good stuff. They want to hear that they have all the ingredients. But they don't want to hear about, hey, you know, you're supposed to use that thing called forgiveness. You're supposed to use that thing called, you know, exercise some grace and mercy. Hey, you're supposed to use that ingredient called compassion, generosity. The things that God has given you, you're supposed to be utilizing those things. It's a maturity of our faith. It's developed in increasing measures. The ingredients mix and they blend well. Many people have been walking with the Lord for decades. Decades they've been walking with the Lord, and they're still eating cereal. Many believers want an abundance of knowledge, but are unwilling to put forth the effort to acquire it. It's like, hey, you want to earn your PhD? You're going to have to put in the work. You can want it all day long. That doesn't mean a thing. You have to put in the work. Some folks want a good marriage. You have to put in the effort and the work. Some people want to lose 10 pounds, eat right, and exercise. Well, that's out the window with linguine with clam sauce. Good health, education, great marriages. It takes effort. Many people want them, but they won't use the ingredients that they've been given to acquire them. Belonging to a good church takes effort. Belonging to a good fellowship takes effort. Faith is more than a belief in certain facts. It results in action. What is that? Show up on Sundays, go to prayer meetings, reach out and participate. Salvation does not depend on your good deeds, but it results in good deeds. You see, there's your next slide, by the way. Salvation is the foundation upon which we build. It's not like you've arrived, you're saved. That's just the beginning. We must learn to be intentional about our faith, building up our foundation and building upon our foundation. So you build the foundation of a house, but without walls, without rooms, without toilets, without windows, you have a foundation. Not a house. Terry Tilton, back in the corner over there, has been building a house for years. Ask him about the importance of building upon the foundation. You can't live on the foundation. You got to build it up, right? How have you built upon your foundation in Christ? Adding those right ingredients, structures in place. Is prayer involved in a financial decision that you might make? Is prayer involved in a business decision you might make, a family decision that you make? Do you make a decision and then pray to God to bless your decision? Or do you pray and make a decision? Having the right ingredients and adding them at the right time can make all the difference to the acquired faith and maturity that you have. Are you intentional about what is next in your spiritual journey? Do you even know what that is? And if you're one of those that have received this precious faith, now what? Now what? Is this it? This is as good as it gets, folks. Is this it for you? There's no more spiritual enlightenment for you. You've reached the pinnacle and the apex of your spiritual development. I have all the knowledge I'm ever going to have. I have all the wisdom I'm ever going to gain. We must continue to build upon the foundation of our faith. Have you laid a foundation of faith and then stopped building? You got all the ingredients to make an awesome linguine with clam sauce, but you keep it in the closet. Scripture says we need to add to our faith in increasing measure. The New Life Alliance Church, we're not a very stagnant body. We're continuing to grow. We're fully functioning fellowship of worshipers. There's many overcomers sitting right in this room right now, conquerors, and many that have claimed victory, many that got the scars, many that got the dents. Just talk to some people that are here. Trevor and Jody, overcomers, continuing to fight, increasing their faith. Bob McGinnis, continuing to add to his faith, continuing to show up, continuing to believe. This is his family. Jess Lewis, Spencer Roll, Jim Hall, Tina Hansen, Pastor Stan and Melinda. Over and over and over and over again. Just look around at all the ingredients that God has placed in here today. Just in here today. The wealth of wisdom, the wealth of experiences that God has given testimony and been in your life and done great things. To stand in fellowship with these warriors and these soldiers of the cross, man, I want to continue to build, don't you? Continue to honor Christ. Continue to do the things that he's called us to. See, here's your next slide. I took a DNA test, and I found out I'm a child of God. Do you even recognize how awesome you are? How amazing you are that God desires you and wants you, empowers you because of him, because of the divine power. We're strong because of his divine power, standing upon the rock of our salvation. We're not getting weaker, we're getting stronger. We're not getting dimmer, we're getting brighter. We're shining, we're glimmering, we're witnessing, loving, praying, singing, praising, and encouraging. And some are going to come in and want to be a part, and others are going to go away and go, man, those guys are Jesus freaks. We're not lost in this world. We're pointing people to a more excellent way. You can look that up on Corinthians 13. We're not corrupted by hatred or violence or jealousy. We rest in the arms of the Father. We don't adopt a victim mentality. We're clothed in robes of righteousness and victory. That's who we are as a child of God. I don't know what the world is saying about you. I do know what God is saying about you. We don't just talk about doing good, we do good. We don't theorize about how we should serve, we serve. We must continue to be intentional about building upon our faith. He has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, this was verse 4, you may participate in the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires, we shall see fruit of our faith. We shall see the fruit of our efforts. There's your next one. It's the divine nature, participating in the divine nature. His divine power gives us his divine nature. What do you think the Holy Spirit is? We get to participate in the divine nature of God. Just meditate on that for a moment. The divine power of God given unto you that you might live a godly life, exemplifying his nature. The divine nature, the Holy Spirit dwelling within, should blossom and produce. We must make every effort to gain knowledge of him, grow in our own wisdom, develop our understanding of his divinity, deepen our own walk and understanding of the Lord in his ways. And if there's such a thing as this great God that you want to discover, how do you discover him? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Spirit becomes flesh. Merry Christmas. That's not the sacred cow. That's not Buddha. There's only one way. Jesus himself was very clear about that. No one comes unto the Father except through me. You cannot begin to understand the Father except through me. Because I and the Father are. You want to understand about this great God? Get to know Jesus. It's not about denominations. It's about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. So I read some of these passages sometimes and I start to get confused because my mind is pretty simple. And I get simple ingredients, basic instructions. I don't really think of myself as fancy or ornate in any way. I just read that God gave me everything I need to live a godly life. He empowered me. And then I read, add to your faith. I just thought I had everything. Well, you do have everything, but now you add to it? So now I'm already confused. What is it that you're trying to say? What is it that you're trying to say, God? Everything you need is given to you. It's all the ingredients for the foundation. All you have to do is put it all together. You've got everything that you need, but you need to build upon it. Build upon it. This is progressive sanctification. This is working out your salvation. Salvation is that foundation upon which you will now build. Participating in our divine nature looks like the manifestation of the gifts. It looks like the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. He's given us all of these things. Goodness, virtuous, honorable, a way of thought and way of action, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. What do those words even mean? And how do you even begin to put them in practice into an ungodly world? Well, you've got his power. You've got his nature. You bring it into the world. You know, self-control is mastering one's own desires and sinful appetites. Self-discipline, controlling your tongue. taking your thoughts captive. Self-control isn't just about, hey, I'm not going to that place. Hey, I'm not going to go to the strip club. Hey, I'm not going to go to the keg party. Hey, I'm not going to go to the crack house. It's more than just stuff you do. Self-control starts here in your mind. Because all those things start with a thought process. And in all, self-control starts here. Think about what you're thinking about. And what are you dwelling upon? And what ingredients do you keep adding to your thought processes? And are you making a really delicious stew, or are you making something sloppy for the world? And it's all up here. Absolute love for God and for one another. Listen, love isn't just to love those that love you. Jesus would say, what credit is that? Pagans do that. Try loving the unlovable. Now you're walking like Christ. Now you're seeing with the eyes of Christ. Each of these areas the Apostle Peter lays out as a pathway toward maturity, away from spiritual blindness and into a divine nature. These are, I would just say, they're people skills. You acquire people skills. They're fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. And these you should possess in increasing measure. Particularly the older you get, don't you have more experiences with people? And don't you begin to understand a little bit more about people? And you've gained incredible insight, incredible wisdom because of good scenarios and good situations and bad situations. And they're attributes that are adding to your understanding and into your knowledge of how to deal with people. And God would just say, use my divine nature. Love them. I know their personality is awful. I know their sense of humor is not good. Love them. Dog them anyway. Bring an effective life and a productive life. Participate. Here's your next slide. Participation in God's operation requires your cooperation. You have to pull the ingredients off the shelf and use them. You can't just say, hey, I'm saved, I've got everything. There's more. There's so much more. And an ever-increasing faith. If we can grab hold of the fact that these are skills that are given to improve your quality of life and the life of those around you, we begin to understand God's perspective. You need me to say that again? Grab hold of the fact that these are skills that are given to improve your quality of life. Knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Given to you. Everything you need is given to you to improve your quality of life and those around you. So it's not just about you, is it? Then you begin to understand God's perspective. God's perspective of a successful living, harmony, peace, confidence, freedom. If you want to see godly things done in your life, you're going to have to cooperate with God. You're going to have to cooperate with the things that He's telling you and the directions that He's guiding you to. Not what you think, not what the world tells you to think, what the world's definition of success is, what God's definition of success is. Are you sure you want to be a disciple of God? Or are you a disciple of the world? Are you a disciple of Western mentality thinking? Are you a disciple of God, a disciple of Christ? Very different. Very different in your applications of the ingredients that you're given and how you apply them. We're going to need to be focused and channeled to know Him and the knowledge of Him. And if He is real and if He is alive and if this God exists, then we must pursue Him. We must seek Him. He is a spring, a wellspring that never runs dry. A river, that's what we were singing about in our first song. A river that always flows with goodness. Drowns out sorrows. A river that flows with knowledge and awareness. It opens prison gates. Many of us are our own worst enemies, and we're imprisoned by our own minds and our own thoughts. And we can't figure out how to break out of it. God's telling you how to break out of it. Seek me. Seek me. Weary, heavy burdened. Laden, confused, don't understand, don't know which way. Do you think God is confused? Do you think he's surprised? Go to the source. He makes things clear. He is merciful. He is magnificent. He's awe-inspiring and he's mysterious. Our passions must be toward him. Our delight is found in him. And our delight, if you want to think like God, is in the eternal things, not the temporary. We spend a lot of time focused on the temporary things, even our own flesh and money and life. And lucky if you get 100 years and you're done. And God's talking about your soul, the character of a man, the person that you are, the soul that you take throughout eternity. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective, verse 8, and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. So what's the point of it all? What's the point? Why does it all matter that I even cooperate with God? Because many people don't. What does it matter? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's your last one. It's all about a divine welcome. It's all about a divine welcome. To be willing to cooperate with God. Add all the right ingredients to your present life to build upon your foundation. You will not fail. Because the reality is the finish line is coming for all of us. Isn't it? The finish line's coming. And you have no clue when your race is over. I pray you're running on the right track. I pray you're pursuing the right passions. I pray you're in cooperation with the most divine power of God. I pray you're cooperating. Because when the checkered flag drops on your life, it's finished. And that's why we do what we do. To receive a divine welcome into an eternity, because this place, temporary. It's temporary. And won't it be grand? And won't it be grand to be where Jesus is? To reunite with loved ones, to celebrate with praise, to dance with the angels, glories and mind that the mind cannot even begin to fathom? All the magnificence that you could even begin to think about how glorious heaven would be in the presence of God, it is 100,000 times better than you could ever even think or imagine, because paradise awaits. Paradise awaits. And paradise welcomes. Welcomes. Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, this moment, I thank you for those that you have brought out here today to hear these words, to hear this message. To hear, Father, that we desire to cooperate. We should cooperate. That we might have a divine welcome with you. I thank you that you've given us everything we already need to live a godly life. I pray, Father, that we're able to mix it all well. That we might bring you honor and glory. Continue to work in us and through us. Continue to bind us together upon this sanctified holy ground, this campus that serves you and serves you well. And Father, when the day comes, and it's coming for all of us, I pray that you would open your arms and receive us into your paradise. In the name of your Son, I would pray. Amen. God bless you guys.